Thank you, Wayne and Jeanette and Dina. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 1. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Don't Go to the Lake on Mother's Day. Now, you might be thinking, well, of course, Brother Richard, we're here. We're not at the lake, and I'm grateful for you being here, but that's not exactly what I am talking about. And I hope that you will stick with me for the next several minutes and allow me to explain. We are looking at God's Word in our study of the book of Revelation, and when we are looking at end times chronology or end time events, we have spoken about the rapture of the church, and we have spoken about a 7-year earthly tribulation, and we have spoken about the return of Christ last Sunday morning and the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19. And today, in Revelation chapter 20, we talk about the millennium, the 1,000-year earthly reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that word with me for just a moment, millennium. It's actually a Latin word that literally means 1,000 years. Millennium. And you'll find that phrase 1,000 or 1,000 years 6 times here in Revelation chapter 20. You'll find it in verse 2. You'll find it in verse 3. You'll find it in verse 4, in verse 5, in verse 6, and in verse 7. Through the years, the Christian church, when it comes to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus, traditionally has found themselves in one of 3 groups. There have been those who, and you might be familiar with these words, who would call themselves amillennial, who do not think that this 1,000 years is a literal 1,000 years, but a figurative 1,000 years, and just simply an extended time of blessing and peace before the Lord returns. And certainly there are some elements of that. That is true. The gospel is going around the world today. Praise the Lord. It hasn't gotten to the ends of the earth yet, but it is on its way. There are others who have called themselves post-millennial, and that is a reference to the return of Christ, that Jesus will come after or post-millennial, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus. Many post-millennials have fallen by the wayside due to World Wars I and II. And then there are those who might call themselves premillennial. They believe that the Lord Jesus is returning first or before or pre the 1,000-year reign, but then a literal 1,000-year earthly reign of the Lord Jesus. That is my conviction. That is what I have shared with you in the previous Sundays. That is what makes most sense to me in studying Revelation from chapter 1, verse 1, until chapter end, verse end. Why does all of this matter, particularly as it relates to the millennium? Let me share with you a description of the millennium this morning from an English, British preacher of days gone by. Look at the screens behind me. John Phillips, writing in Exploring Revelation, page 237, said, "In the millennium, poverty is unknown. Every man has all that heart can desire. There are no prisons, no hospitals, no mental institutions, no barracks." And you can tell this is, again, from days gone by. "No saloons, no houses of ill repute, no gambling dens, no homes for the aged and infirm. Such things belong to a past and lesser age. The bloom of youth is on everyone's cheek, for a man is a stripling at 100 years of age. Cemeteries are crumpling relics of the past, and tears are rare. The wolf and the lamb, the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear, the child and the scorpion, all are at peace. Jesus has come, and the millennium is here. The golden age, so frequently heralded by the prophets of Israel's past, has dawned at last, and the earth is filled with the knowledge of God. Jesus is Lord, and he rules the nations with a rod of iron. His reign is righteous, and the nations obey. The principles of the Sermon on the Mount are the laws of the kingdom, and men obey them because infractions are not allowed. Sin is visited with swift and certain judgment. The era lasts for 1,000 years. Wow. Something to behold, something to look forward to, something that I hope turns out to be true as God's word has told us. This morning, as we consider Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to share with you what God's word says happens before the millennium, during the millennium, and after the millennium. And so if you have found Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, I invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read all 15 verses of Revelation chapter 20. John said, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon and serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And then they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and on him sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray over these next few moments that it will be crystal clear, and that there would be even those this morning within the sound of my voice who make a personal decision not to go to the lake on Mother's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. What will happen before the millennium? Simply put, and this is true today, brothers and sisters, simply put, the devil will somewhat have his way and do as he pleases. Before the millennium, and that includes today, the devil will somewhat, and that's the key, have his way and do as he pleases. Would you hold your spot there in Revelation chapter 20 and turn over to the book of Job in chapter 1? Many of you are familiar with the story of Job and the drama is set in chapter 1. And beginning in verse 6, listen to this drama unfold. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And so Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You see, the devil currently, before the millennium, somewhat, and I use the word somewhat because anything that the devil does today requires God's permission. He is subservient and inferior to the almighty, omnipotent, good Father that we worship in heaven. And anything he does, he needs permission. We even saw that in today's Sunday school small group lesson. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you." Notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say that Satan took him. He says Satan asked for you, "that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Satan had to have the Lord's permission to test Peter's faith. And any affliction, brothers and sisters, that you experience in today's life, Satan has to ask the Lord's permission. He does somewhat what he pleases on the earth today before the millennium. And please, brothers and sisters, don't neglect this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan cannot, let me say that again. If you are a follower of Christ, Satan cannot endanger your eternal life, but he will do everything he can to destroy your earthly life. He cannot endanger your eternal life, but he will do everything he can to destroy your earthly life. And so before the millennium, the devil somewhat does as he pleases on the earth. But let's consider secondly, what takes place during the millennium? John does not give us a lot of details, but he does say this: the serpent will be restricted and the saints will be reigning. In the millennium, during the millennium, during the 1,000-year earthly reign of the Lord Jesus, the serpent will be restricted and the saints will be reigning. Let's look at the text, verse 1. Again, John said, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, and here are his tools in verse 1 in restricting the serpent, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon. And just in case we're not exactly sure who this dragon is, John goes above and beyond, letting us know this is the serpent of old. This is the devil. His name is Satan. And he will be bound for 1,000 years. And he cast him, the angel cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that during these 1,000 years, notice verse 3, that he should deceive the nations no longer until the 1,000 years is up. So for 1,000 years, Satan and his influence will be significantly diminished. And perhaps, like Brother John Phillips described for us just a few moments ago, perhaps that is what the 1,000-year earthly reign of the Lord Jesus Christ will be like. That's not to say, brothers and sisters, that there won't be sin. There will be sin, but it will be dealt with swiftly and judiciously. How can there be sin? Well, in just a few moments, we're going to see that after the devil is released for that brief period, after the millennium and before eternity, we're not told how long that is, but it's a brief period, Satan will lead one final revolt with his armies against the Lord Jesus. So if you can envision this with me, the Lord Jesus has come back, and those brothers and sisters who were alive at the end of the tribulation have now entered the earthly millennium, and they are followers of Christ. But they will give birth to little boys and little girls who are not fathers, are not followers of Christ. And so there will be lost people in the millennium, and they will follow the lead of the devil. And so while the millennium will be wonderful, it will not be sinless. But for 1,000 years, the devil, the serpent, Satan will be restricted. But not only will the serpent be restricted, but there will be saints who are reigning. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Who are these plural pronouns, they and them? Well, here's what God's word tells us about saints judging, ruling in the millennium. Consider Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Perhaps John has some Old Testament saints in mind. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So some of those saints who are reigning, perhaps they are Old Testament saints. Perhaps they are also the apostles. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so perhaps John is thinking about Old Testament saints. Perhaps he's thinking about the apostles. Perhaps he's thinking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And so the saints will be reigning. But John introduces us to a fourth group of saints there in verse 4. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not yet worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Tribulation saints will also be reigning with the Lord Jesus during the millennial reign. And look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So after the millennium, there's going to be more saints resurrected. Now let me help you understand this phrase, first resurrection. I don't understand first resurrection as meaning a sequence of resurrections, but a type of resurrection. The first resurrection was true of the Lord Jesus. It was true of the church. It will be true of saints. If you name the name of Christ, you will experience the first resurrection. The reason I believe that is because of verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now there's another phrase that causes us question this morning. What is that second death? Well, that brings us to the final point in our text. We've considered what happens before the millennium, during the millennium, and now let's see after the millennium. Look at verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison. So a brief time, not long, but after the millennium and before eternity, for a brief time, Satan will be released and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog is a reference to Ezekiel 37 through 39. Generally speaking, Gog is the leader, Magog are his followers, and it means those who are anti-Lord Jesus, those who are opposed to the Lord, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And we see in verse 9, they try this last revolt, this last coup d'etat. They went up on the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, certainly that's Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden, God not standing for it, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, just like that. You want to know what happens after the millennium? Satan will be destroyed, listen to me, but everlastingly. Satan will be destroyed, but everlastingly. Look at verse 10. The devil who deceived them, all that he gathered, all that who had not trusted in Christ as Savior during the millennium, he deceived them, but the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. The unholy Trinity, fully and completely, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, after the millennium, will be destroyed in hell everlastingly. And the reason that I say everlastingly is because by the very definition, destroyed implies an ending. When we think about fire or the lake of fire, there is an implied ending that eventually whatever is on fire will be completely burned up. That's not true of the lake of fire. Look at what it says. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The final hell, brothers and sisters, will not have an end. It will not have a ceasing to exist. It will go on everlastingly for the unholy Trinity. After the millennium, Satan will be destroyed, but everlastingly, and sinners will die, but eternally. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 is what is normally called the Great White Throne Judgment. John said, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it," certainly that is the Lord Jesus, "from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And so standing before God, every individual who has rejected Christ as Savior and Lord will be judged according to his or her works or deeds. Perhaps it will play out like this. He comes to your name in the book of life, or at least where your name should be if you've trusted Christ. But he can't find your name. Oh, maybe it's your maiden name. Nope, can't find your maiden name. He can't find your name, period. Okay, well now we will turn to the book of deeds, the book of works. Ah, yes, here's your name. That one time you lied. That's it. Brother Richard, what do you mean, that's it? The standard, brothers and sisters, for salvation is perfection. And everyone in the room has failed. And if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who was ever perfect and sinless and died on the cross in your place for your sin, then you will be judged according to your works. And one sin, because one sin, even the smallest white lie, is an abomination to the holiness of God. And that one sin will mean an eternity in hell, dying eternally. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So all who've ever died physically and who hadn't put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Brothers and sisters, we are born once. And if we trust Jesus Christ, we are born twice, and we will all die once. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not experience the second death or die twice. You will only die once physically, but you will live forever in heaven for eternity. But if you haven't been born twice, if you haven't called on the name of the Lord to save you, it doesn't matter how good you have been. It doesn't matter how good of a mother you are, how good of a father you think you are, how good of a neighbor you are, an employee or an employer. One single solitary sin violates the holiness of God. And God, in his justice, cannot allow sin into heaven. And consequently, verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, the idea of fire, it implies that it will come to an end, that eventually it will be burned up. Eventually, it will disappear or cease to exist or simply become ashes and blown away. Not here. Sinners will die, but eternally. They will die again and again and again and again and again and again. Because that is the nature of hell. And that's what happens after the millennium. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, don't go to the lake on Mother's Day. And I'm not talking about Fork, and I'm not talking about Tewaukini, and I'm not talking about Holbrook or any other lake in your mind. I'm talking about the lake of fire. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, today is your day. Today is your day to answer the call of salvation that God, through His Word, is putting on your life right now as we speak. And in just a minute, we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium, giving you a chance to respond publicly to God's Word. And I'll be here at the front, and Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. We would love to welcome you and celebrate you and counsel with you and pray with you the greatest decision that you can ever make in your life. But it has to be your decision. It can't be mine. It can't be your neighbor's. It can't be mom and dad's. It can't be brothers and sisters. It has to be yours. And if it's not, one day you will be judged according to the book of deeds, the book of works. And if your name is not written in that book of life, you will die eternally. But you can change that today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, perhaps you also this morning need to respond publicly to God's Word. Maybe you're a guest today. God is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church through church membership. We would love to welcome you this morning. Maybe you need to come and pray with one of our ministers, or simply come and pray here at the front by yourself on bended knee. We would welcome that this morning. Any other public decision you might need to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ as you are responding to God's Word, we will invite you to do so when we're standing and singing all across the auditorium. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you and say glory to you for Revelation 20. For the warning is crystal clear, and I pray that we have heard it and will heed it. Don't go to the lake on Mother's Day or any other day, but put your faith and trust in Christ. Father, I pray that you have already softened hearts and opened eyes and ears, and now would you give courage to respond faithfully and publicly to your Word. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? Brother Chris comes to lead us. Would you come today and answer that call to salvation and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time? We'd love to welcome you as you come.